Welcome back. Happy New Year. Happy New Year and happy 2021. I don't know, you know, as you get deeper into things of God, I think you find out that New Year's Eve doesn't hold a whole lot for us as believers. So are you finding that out? I was just talking to somebody about that this morning, that, you know, our church used to do something, and it became so poorly attended, and it was a big event to put on. We had food and everything, that we haven't done it in about 4 years. And it, you know, then it meant something. But now it's just like, I don't know about you, but Kim and I, we're sitting home, and Chris and Veronica were with us, and, you know, you turn on the TV, there's nothing on TV, and I don't even know the groups that sing anymore on their rock, and I don't even know who those people are anymore, and I really don't want to watch them, I got to tell you, because they're not dressed in ways that I want to see. The ladies aren't, and so, you know, so we actually, I forget what we watched, but we actually turned it off, and, you know, come about, you know, a half hour before New Year's, I mean, we're just all asleep, you know, and doesn't mean much. I mean, to me, the Lord's in control. So that year changing, it's, you know, I rip a calendar page off and start a new calendar, but other than that, God's in control. So I don't know if that's your, if you're finding that out, but, you know, what I'm saying is this: don't put yourself down if New Year's isn't this huge thing for you anymore. I'm not sure that as a believer that it should be, because God is the same in the old year and in the new year. And so it really is just a turning of a page for us, but we still trust the same God. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But I don't know. I think a couple years ago I was like, wow, it just seems like this should be more exciting for me. And it's really not. And I'm not sure that it should be. I mean, you know, big whip. The time's going to go no matter what anyway. So praise God. Anyway, let's get into things this morning. Let's pray. I want to speak a message to you. It's not going to be our theme. We're going to start that next year, but I will mention the theme in it. And I want to speak a message entitled, Fire It Up. Fire It Up. Lord, we ask for your blessing today upon your word. We ask, God, that you would hide this flesh behind the cross today. Let it not be me that's seen or heard, but let it be your word. Father, I pray that your word would ring loud in our hearts in this building. And I pray that your word would ring loud in our hearts sitting in our living rooms, in our basements, in our dens, our bedrooms, wherever we are today watching, Lord. Father, I ask that you would manifest your presence. We just don't want to hear something. Father, we want to open our lives up to something, and we need that something to change us. And Lord, we know that your word is anointed. We know that it's moved, it's powered, it's breathed on by the Holy Spirit. And so it's going to bring something into our midst today. It's going to bring something into our lives today that is going to change us and make us more like you in everything that we do. And so God, do that in this new year. Father, I thank you and I praise you for where you're leading us and where you're guiding us. I pray as a church that this new year would be new ground for us, would be new directions for us, would be a new commitment to the things of the church family, Lord, and that, God, we would just move out in these things and see great things take place, Father, Lord. We honor you and thank you in all things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So, let's get into this today. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. A time to look forward to what lies ahead with some anticipation and excitement in our hearts. I guess we should be excited about that, right? It's a new, hey, let's look at this new year and let's focus on the things of God and let's allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to bring us to places that He wants us to be this year. It's a time to focus on life. You know, I told you about a friend of mine who used to, I don't know if he still does this, I really, we've lost contact with each other through the years. But he used to go and sit on Atlantic City or Ocean City or wherever beach he was at, and as the clock was turning into New Year, and he would look out over the ocean, and it would just mean something to him, that vastness of water and how huge it is. It would remind him how small he is in regards to the creation of God and the plans of God, and prayerfully he would consider what he was going to do that new year and make some plans in that, and nothing wrong with that. We should be focusing on life. What did happen last year, and what are we focusing on this year? What is God speaking to us? Every year I come up with a new Bible reading plan and on how I'm going to read the Bible that year, which version of the Bible I'm going to read, and how I'm going to do my devotions on that and my journaling. I change that every year. I change the scriptures that I'm going to read. Sometimes I'll read the New Testament twice in a year. And so it's all this planning, this thing of, God, I want your word to affect me. I want your word to become real to me, God. And so, Lord, help me make these plans because I know that you have a plan for my life. Happy New Year. It's a time to make some changes to our lives because of where we are and because of how that has affected us. And so we get to focus on this and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? And what changes do I need to make to allow that to happen? It's a time to think about where we are with Christ. Come on, let's at least this new year think about where we are with Christ at the end of last year, and now where we want to be. What is God speaking to you? Where does God want to take you? And let's take that next step to step out in the things of God and to believe for greater things and not be the same. It would be sad for us to come to the year, the end of 2021, and not have changed or grown in our walk with Jesus Christ. That'd be a very sad thing for believers, and yet that happens every year. And so let us be believers that at the end, on December 31st of 2021, no matter what 2022 is going to mean, or no matter what you're watching on TV, or how you celebrate New Year's Eve and what it means to you, let's at least say, you know, next year at this time, I'm going to say, man, I've grown with Jesus. I've gone into deeper things with the Lord. I followed him into greater trust and greater faith, and I'm just trusting him. And so it's a time, according to the title of this message, I believe, to fire it up. Fire it up. And that's what I want to do today. I want to fire you up. We're tired. I don't know about you, but, you know, we've been doing things with family, and we're tired, and we're worn out. And today, I got to tell you, I didn't get up with the most zeal in my life today. When that alarm went off, I'm like, oh boy, okay, now I got to get up. I haven't gotten up this time any day this week, so now I got to get up. And so God, fire us up. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 to 40. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 to 40. Lord, bless your word today as we look at it, share something with us, and speak something into us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ahab, this is Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood. But put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood. But put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And if you look there, he is capital G God. He's the God. So all the people answered and said, hey, we like this. It is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call in the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal, from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. They start dancing and they start worshiping. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry out louder, for he is a god. Either he's meditating or he is busy. And if you look at that busy there, it's the word for going to the bathroom. He's really making fun of their god. He must be on the porcelain throne. He can't hear you. And so he's either meditating, he's busy, maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried the louder, and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. They're sacrificing themselves. They want their god to answer. And when midday was past, probably 6 hours now, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was even in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. I love this story. It's not a story. It's true. I love this account. I want you to know there are two opinions of the new year. I want to speak to you from these scriptures today. There are two opinions of a new year. We have a choice at any major decision in our lives. You have found this to be true. I tell children, I tell the youth, I tell the kids in school, when it comes to those little decisions that you're making, you have a choice. And every decision you make now will determine the bigger decisions that you make later. If this is okay, then that's going to be okay. If this is not okay, then that is not going to be okay. And so we come into this new year, and it's the same every new year. We have a decision about the new year. We have a decision, church, about 2021. Will we follow God, or will we follow someone or something else? Will we listen to God, or will we listen to something else? Will we walk with God, or will we walk according to our own lusts and according to something else? And so we have the same choice every day, every new year. Why is this important as we go into a new year? Because things that we have experienced in the old year have exacted a price on our lives. We have dragged with us into the first 3 days of 2021 now things that we have experienced in 2020 and 2019 and 2018 and so on. Those things have exacted a price on us. Those things have weighed us down. Those things have changed our minds, have changed our hearts, have changed our lives. We have experienced things that have brought doubts into our minds. Oh, maybe God can't do that anymore because He didn't seem to do it when I prayed about it in 2020. And so we've experienced things that have brought doubt to our minds. We've gone through things that have cut deep into our spirits. We've experienced pain. We've experienced hurt. We've experienced great joys. We've experienced great highs. We've experienced great lows. We've experienced all these things and these emotions and these things that we go through. And every one of them cuts deep into our spirits in good ways and bad ways. We have seen things that we cannot shake. We have experienced things that we cannot shake. We have gone through things that we cannot shake. And if we are not careful, listen to me. If we are not careful, the enemy has already or will use those things to cause us to go astray in our walk with the Lord. Listen to what I'm saying. This is truth. This is truth today. Now, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, it can be as easy as us thinking that God has kept His promise to us or God has not kept His promise to us. And if we see in 2020 and 2019 that God has not kept His promise, then guess what? We're not going to trust God for His promise in 2021. It can be as easy as that. It can be maybe more difficult when we think about, well, God has forsaken us. Where was God in the situations that I faced last year? Where was God in the circumstances of my heart? Where was God when I went through that? Now, I want to tell you, God has never left you. God has never forsaken you. But see, the enemy will lie, and the enemy will trick us, and the enemy will promote that God doesn't care about us, that God has forsaken us. And then it's very hard to trust that God in the new year. Another one, that God loves someone else more than He loves me. I've heard this in the church. I've seen it in people's lives. Oh, yeah, well, Sister so-and-so, I mean, she's more connected with God, so she can trust in God for more things. Well, that may be true. The more we're connected to God, the greater faith that we have in God, the more it releases God to move. But I want you to know, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you any less than Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so. God loves us all the same. We are all His children. If you're not His child, if you've not asked Jesus into your heart yet, God still loves you. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So He loved you so much that He sent Jesus to die so that you could know Jesus, that you could walk with Jesus, and that you could know His love. Can I tell you that any of these situations, and there's so many that I haven't touched on because I don't have time today, but in every one of these situations, the enemy will have a heyday with those if we allow him to. If we allow these to become situations of our thinking, if we allow our minds to entertain these thoughts, man, the enemy will jump all over that, and you're going to go into this new year with doubt. You're going to go into this new year with depression. You're going to go into this new year with sickness. And I'm not just talking about sickness of the body, but sickness of the mind and sickness of the heart, sickness of relationships and sickness of all this other stuff, because the enemy is just going to jump all over those things. These people that the prophet is speaking to had only one of two things to choose from. And he told them, guys, either follow God, follow Jehovah. If he's God, if you believe he's God, then follow him. Or if you believe that Baal is God, then follow him. So you have a choice. Either follow the true God or follow the gods or the systems of this world. And I ask you, church, which one will you pick going into 2021? Are you going to follow the God, the only God? He's not Muhammad. He's not Krishna. He's not anything else. He's God Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah El. He is the God of this world. Sorry to upset you if that upsets you, but that's the truth. Are you going to put your trust in him, or are you going to put your trust in the systems of this world, in the things of this world? Which one will you pick? Where would you put your trust in for this year? What's going to guide your decision-making in 2021? What's going to decide the way that you live life this year? And I know that we all want to right away reply, oh, Pastor, I'm going to live for God, of course. Pastor, I'm going to trust God, of course. But what do we see in our lives as we look back on last year? Because if you want to know where you're going in 2021, all you need to do is look where you have come in 2020 and see what has brought you to this point. There's a trail that we all follow. There's a path that we all followed. There's something that we walked on that got us to the place we're at. And so if you want to know how much you're going to trust God in 2021, unless, as this message says, we ask God to fire it up, if you want to know how much you're going to trust God for and believe God for, then just look at where you came through 2020, and that's going to be your deciding factor, unless we allow the Holy Spirit to move. Does that make sense? We make our resolutions. We make our calendars. And we have everything planned out. But did we ever stop to ask the Lord, God, what do you have planned for my life this year? God, where do you want me in 2021? God, who do you want me to be in relationship with in 2021? God, what is the group of people you want me to be hanging with? God, what church do you want me in? God, what fellowship do you want me to be a part of? God, where do you want me to go here? God, what do you want me to do here? God, what job do you have for me this year? God, what position do you want in my life? Have we thought to ask God in the first 3 days of this year, God, what do you have planned for this year? What do you want in my life? I want to encourage you on this January 3rd, 2021, to fire it up. To fire up your faith in the Lord. To have a faith that will ignite itself in your life. To put away those doubts. To put away those fears that have crept in from last year. And to find your footing on the Word and your faith on the Word of God. Amen? I want to encourage you to fire it up. I want to encourage you to turn it up. You know, you're cooking something and you got something cooking and it's not getting done the way it needs to be done. So what do you got to do? You got to turn the heat up a little bit. Now you want to be careful because you don't want to overcook it, but you want to make sure that it's done. You want to make sure that it's done to a place of completion. So you turn it up a little bit or you do something that makes that thing cook to the degree that it's got to cook. That's what we need in our lives. God, turn it up. God, I want the fire of faith to burn in me. God, I want my desires to be turned up for you, God. Lord, I've struggled this year. God, I've had doubts in my faith this year. God, I've had sickness and things that have come against me, and God, they've affected me. But God, this year I want to make a declaration. I want to encourage you this year to make a declaration of what God's will mean in your life. How are you going to follow God's will for your life? How are you going to follow God's word? And so how is God's word going to have an effect in your life? How is God's word going to affect your family? Some of us need to begin to pray for our family. Some of us need to begin to believe for our children in greater ways. Believe for our grandchildren in greater ways. Believe for our brothers and sisters in greater ways. Believe for our aunts and uncles. God, I'm believing that this year, 2021, you're going to turn it up in my family, God. And I'm believing for salvation in my kids and in my grandkids, God. I'm believing for salvation in my uncles and my aunts. I'm believing, God, that you're going to touch my sisters and my brothers, God. I'm believing, God, that you're going to have your way in a greater way in my family this year. Turn it up, God. Fire it up. Hallelujah. God, in my job. God, I've just been complacent in my job. God, I've not been giving my best in my job. God, I've not been the most favorite person in my job. I've been miserable. I've been negative in everything. And listen, if you're a negative person, man, you need to ask God to fire it up this year. That negativity has to go. You can't serve God with negativity. Everything is affected by it. If you're in a ministry, it affects the ministry you're in. It affects the people you're in a ministry with. If you're doing something at work, it affects the people you work with. It affects your spouse. It affects your children. It affects your grandchildren. It affects the dog. It affects the cat. You're going to have nasty dogs and nasty cats. And people are going to walk in your house and not want to be in your house. Why? Because there's a negative attitude there. Lord, how's your word going to affect my daily living? How am I going to live my life this year different than last year? Because your word is speaking this to me. Your word is doing this in me. God, what am I going to do? I want to encourage you today, January 3rd, 2021. I almost said 2020, 2021, to take that step of faith that you have never been able to take and to walk away from something that is leading you, I'm sorry, to walk away to something that is only going to lead you to the Lord and not away from Him. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to fire it up, to trust God in what you're going through right now. Whether you're online, whether you're in His house, you're going through something right now. You're going through a sickness. You're going through a relational issue. You're going through a mental issue. You're going through a depression, a discouragement. You're going through a crisis of faith. I want to encourage you to trust God to deal with that situation of what you're going through right now and to only listen this year to His voice in the midst of the myriad of voices that are speaking to you daily. And let's look at this morning. Will you trust God? This is what I'm asking you. Will you trust God when you are against all the odds of a new year? Will you trust God when you are against all the odds of a new year? Look what Elijah says in verse 22. I am alone. I am the only prophet of God against 450 prophets of Baal. Or I say Baal, it's easier to say, but it's actually Baal. He recognized that the odds were against him. He recognized that there were 450 chances against his one chance that things were going to go the other way. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody living there now? Anybody going through those things now? Maybe you feel like you are there now. Pastor Ken, I want to do what you are saying, but you don't know what I'm facing. No, I probably don't. But if that's what you're focusing on, what you're facing, then that's all you're ever going to see. And if that's all you're going to focus on in this new year, because that's what's led your life through 2020, then can I tell you that you really don't know the God whom you serve? And those are some strong words. Pastor, you're telling me that I don't know God? If you're focused on your depression, if you're focused on your discouragement, if you're focused on your joblessness or the situations that you're facing right now, then yes, I'm going to tell you that you don't know the power of the God whom you serve. This was not a statement of fear. Elijah wasn't saying, oh, woe is me. It's me against 450. That's not what he was doing. He wasn't saying, hey, what am I going to do? These are unbelievable odds. This was a declaration of faith. God in the natural, this is what he was saying. God in the natural, this is what I'm facing. But I trust in you. And I know that when it's you and me, we are much more than 450. And we are much more than 1,000. And we are much more than 1,000,000. And so what he's saying is bring it on. He wanted to make sure that the people heard what he said because he wanted them to know the power of the God who was in their midst. That's what he wanted them to know. Yesterday, Chris and I were putting together a smoker that we had gotten for Christmas. We were smoking ribs yesterday. Oh my gosh, they were so good. I don't even want to tell you the weight that I've gained. I was doing so well. I was down 30 pounds. I still haven't put it all on, don't worry. But I need to lose some weights. But as we're putting the smoker together, we had the dogs outside. And when Chris and Veronica come, they bring Kane and they bring Ash. And they're great dogs. And somehow we lost Ash. And they didn't have collars on, and they don't know the area. And he's a hound, so naturally his nose leads him everywhere. And so we're running around the community. We're all in tears. We're running around the community. We're yelling, Ash, Ash, whistling. We're doing everything we can do. But before we went out, the first thing I did was I prayed. And I said, Lord, you know where this dog is. You know the situation that he's in. And we need him back. If for nothing else, we need him back for Veronica's heart, because I know her heart is broken. And that broke my heart. And I prayed. We're traveling around and we're working the circles out around the house further and further. And we're asking people, have you seen a dog? Nobody saw a dog. All the cats were out on the porches. So I'm like, you know what? Something's wrong here. Somebody had to see a dog that's walking down the street. These cats would not be out if a hound is out. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, Lord, you need to lead me to him, or lead him to me. I said, this dog is here. And I said to Veronica, I said, Veronica, let me out. He's in this area. He hasn't gone. He's in this area. And I walked it by foot because I knew he was in the area. Still didn't find him. And so I prayed one more time. I said, Lord, as I'm coming home, I said, Lord, you need to show me how to find this dog. If for nothing else, I want Veronica and Chris to see that you answer prayers. That I just want them to see that. Not because they wouldn't know that, but it's something to us when there's a power in our lives. And I walked into the yard, and Chris was beside himself. Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, Chris, we're going to find the dog. And I said, and this was of the Lord. It was not of me. This was never thinking that would have ever developed in my heart. I said, let's check the crawl space. Because we have a door in our backyard that flips up when you go in, but it flips down and you can't get out. And so we went to the crawl space and we opened the door and there's Ash. Like, what are you guys looking for? I'm having a ball down here in all this dirt. Instantly, thank you, Jesus. Because I know that that didn't come from a fleshly mind. I would have never looked under that crawl space. I would have never. I figured the dog was out in the woods somewhere. I figured his hound nose had taken him away. What am I saying? We need to know the power of the God who is in our midst. I knew that dog was in his hands. I knew it from the very first time that we could not find him. I knew that God knew where that dog was, and I had a faith and a sense that God was going to lead us to him. Jesus operated this way all the time. In his raising up of Lazarus from the dead, listen to the way that he prays to his heavenly Father. Listen, John 11:41-42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said out loud, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now listen to what he says. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So Jesus, with a loud voice, with all the people, says, God, I know that you hear my voice. In other words, God, I'm your son. I want the people to know. Now, God, I'm not saying this to hear myself say this prayer, because I know you always hear me. But he's saying, I'm saying this for the sake of the people that are now gathered around, that they will see that your hand was in this situation, the death and the resurrection of Lazarus, and that they would know the manner and the power of the God who is there. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth after being dead 3 days, comes forth out of the grave and is alive and lives again. He prays and says things, Jesus does. Elijah prays and says things in a certain way so that the people around him will get it, so that they will understand that God is in control of the things in their midst. My brothers and sisters, what statement are your words, what statement are your actions making about your God and your trust in him for this new year? Because people are listening. Are you speaking words of truth? Are you speaking words of faith? Or are you defeated already the first 3 days of the year? What are you speaking out? What are you living? Because your coworkers are watching. Your children are watching. Your grandchildren are watching. Your cousins are watching. What are you speaking? How are you living life just in the first 3 days of this year that speak of your trust and of the power of God in your life? Better yet, God has a plan to show your family. God has a plan to show your coworkers who he is and how great he is through your life. So what are you planning to do in 2021 to give him a better chance to do that through you? Come on, these are good questions to ask on the 3rd of January. I want to encourage you to fire it up this new year. I want to encourage you to open up your life to Christ in a new way and to experience a new dimension of the power of Jesus Christ in your year. This can only happen through a dying to self, though. And I hate to tell you this, but that's the only way it's going to happen. You cannot house the power of the Holy Spirit of Christ when you're doing things under your own power. Does that make sense? I can't trust or move in the things of the Holy Spirit when I can trust in my own power. I can do that. Oh, I can do that. I experienced that this past month as Tony would come in my house every day and we tore walls down and made a room where there wasn't a room, and I didn't know anything of what to do. I had no idea what to do, and just it was beyond me. I was trusting him. And thank God he knew what he was doing, because the finished product is beautiful. I didn't know how to get to that point, but he knew. And it's the same with God. I've got to trust God in those things. I've got to die to myself. I've got to die what I can do, so I can trust God to do it. This is our theme for the new year: living in denial. You'll see that on the calendar when you get it. Living in denial, denying ourselves so that the power and the life of Christ can function inside of us. It's going to be a good series this year. I want to encourage you to go the distance this year, no matter what you face, no matter what February brings or what March brings or what April or May bring, no matter what this year brings against you, I want to encourage you to go the distance. That at the end of it all, you would be able to say, I made it, hallelujah. Not because of my own strength, not because I have a non-bending personality or I'll fight it through, not because of that, but I stand here today because God did this. Because God made this happen. Because God moved in this. Because this was of God. I want to encourage you in 2021 to trust God in the tough situations. I want to encourage you in 2021 to fire it up, to walk with God no matter what the pressure may be, no matter what the persecution may be that comes against you, to live for God in every aspect of your life, knowing that He is always for you, never against you, and that anything that is against you must go through Him first. Hallelujah. Imagine what a year of seeing those things would look like if we had that mindset. I'll tell you what it would look like. My third point: there'd be no watered down faith this new year. So we have two decisions to make, right? We have to trust in the Word of God, and we want that there'd be no watered down faith this new year. Look what happens when you recognize that if you have God with you, anything is possible. Elijah enters this contest of gods. Big G God, small G gods. He enters this contest because this king is coming against him. Jezebel wants him killed, the queen. And so this king is coming against him. This king is putting on all the pressure. He's hiding out. Jezebel is raising up the worship of Baal as their god. And God's had enough of this stuff. Listen, God always has enough when we raise other gods up in our lives. God gets furious at that. The Bible says He's a jealous God, that He wants to be the only God in your life. So Elijah enters this contest at the behest of God, at the will of God, knowing the power of his God. And so he gives them first choice. Okay, guys, 450 of you, it's 450 against one, but that's okay. I've got my God. So here's what: you can pick the best bull for the sacrifice. They pick the best bull. You can pick the best place to make your sacrifice. They pick the best place. He says, you can pick how you want to sacrifice it. Great. You just can't put the fire under it. Your gods have to send down the fire. Baal has to send down the fire. And so they're going through their rituals. They're cutting themselves. They're bleeding profusely. They're dancing on the, for 6, 7, 8 hours, they're dancing on this altar. They're dancing around it. They're chanting. They're wearing themselves out. And at every 3 hour intervals, they stop and there's no answer. And Elijah's like, well, maybe he's on the porcelain throne. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he went to Disney World and he'll be back in a couple days and you know what, he'll answer you then. I mean, they're getting mad. Why are they getting mad? Because he's mocking their gods. Then, when nothing happens after 6, 7, 8, 9 hours, he takes even more steps to allow God to reveal his greater power. He rebuilds the altar that was broken down. So he doesn't even take virgin land. He goes right to the old place where had been worn down, where there was dust and brokenness, and he builds it back up. He builds up the altar of God. And he has them douse the offering. And listen, I'm using the wrong word. Douse is a strong word, but he doesn't have them douse it. He has them flood it. You know, those ceremonial pots were probably about this high. And he has them dump 4 of those pots on the bull, the pieces of the bull, on the straw and the hay and the wood, on all the rocks, to the point that the water, 3 times they do that, so 12 of those they pour on there, 12, and to the water actually flows out into the ditch that he made around the altar. It's filling that ditch, and then he goes and fills up the ditch the rest of the way. And this is what he does. And then look down at verse 36. First Kings 18:36-39, and see what happens. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, listen, he does what Jesus does. Listen, he does what I did yesterday. Lord God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel, let it be known this day amongst 450 prophets of a false God, let it be known this day that you are the God in Israel, that I am your servant. I'm doing this because you have directed me to, and that I have done all these things at your word. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Verse 38, listen, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed not just the burnt sacrifice, but it consumed the wood, it consumed the stones, and it consumed the dust. It burned it all, devoured it all. I don't know how it burns rock, but it did. And it licked up the water that was even in the trench. Now, listen. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. And if you didn't get that, they say it again. The Lord, He is God. I want to ask you today, are you feeling like your faith is watered down this year? Like COVID, like situations, like circumstances have just taken buckets of water and just doused the flame of your faith and of your trust in God? Has everything that you have been through this past year had a drenching effect on your spirit? Your spirit's just not the same. You went into the holidays knowing that you weren't the same. You came out of the holidays knowing that you weren't the same. There's hurt, there's pain, there's frustration, there's a lack of joy, there's all of these other things. I want to tell you, trust God to fire it up this year. Trust God to do what He does. Trust God just as He sent the fire to take not just the bull and not just the wood and not just the hay and not just the dust, but the very rocks and the very water that flooded those rocks to take it. Trust God to do something new in your life this year. Start by giving this year on the 3rd of January if you haven't already done it. And on the 11th of this year, we're going to go into 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church. So I forgot to ask Mari. Mari, maybe we could do this real quick at the end of the service. Just get a list out that people could sign up on to join me with your. I need your name and I need your text number so that I can text you what we're praying for those days. 21 days of prayer and fasting that we're going to commit to this church and to this new year. Trust God to fire it up. Start by giving Him this year. How do you do that, Pastor? How do I give God this year? You rebuild the altar of God in your life. Apparently, the people at one time knew, and we know they did, knew that God was the God of Israel because there was an altar there. But you see, they hadn't offered a sacrifice on that altar in many, many years. They hadn't worshiped God in that place in many years. And the place where they all come to, it's broken down. It's destitute. It wouldn't be able to hold any wood. It wouldn't be able to hold a sacrifice. The altar, you could only tell the altar was there because the stones that used to be there were just knocked all over the place. And so we have to build first, church. Listen to me. We have to rebuild the altar of God in your life. The first thing to do, if you haven't done it the first 3 days of January, is today on the 3rd of January, begin to rebuild the altar of God in your life. What do? We begin to look at what has deteriorated in our walk with the Lord. We begin to look at the distance that we have placed, not that He has placed, between us and Himself. We begin to do things to close that distance. We begin to do things to lift our hands again. We begin to do things to praise Him again, to exalt Him again, to worship Him again, and to magnify Him again in our lives. Yeah, but Pastor, I do that. I sing something. No, no, no. You need to come to a place where you have an altar for God, where you have a place that you can burn the sacrifices of worship. Burn the sacrifice. I'm not saying in your yard. I'm not saying a literal fire. I'm saying a prayer closet, a place where you can come, get away from the world, get away from what the world is doing to you, and find a place alone with God for a serious amount of time each and every day and just worship the Lord and hear His voice. We got to get back to that place. What can we expect as a church in 2021 if we're not going to go to prayer, if we're not going to get serious about serving the Lord? We can expect nothing. We can expect to be the same church we are today and expect nothing from the Lord at the end of 2021 because we're not willing to put a little work into cleaning things up and getting back to where we need to be. Come on, church. You look at what has been allowed to deteriorate in your life. You reestablish communication with Him. And not just praying on your way to work. No, no. You put away the prayer on the way to work, and you make a place of prayer in your home, and you pray there where there's no distractions. How do you pray in a car when you've got to worry about motorcycles and people and everything else? You can't. Yes, you can have a method of prayer or a mode of prayer, but you're never going to enter into serious communication with the Lord. I'm going to tell you that. Why? Because we're too lazy to make time for a God who has made everything for us. Listen to what I'm saying. Yeah, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some work. But listen, these little piddly prayers that we're praying on our way to work in the truck or in the car, they don't mean anything. Yes, God answers them, but He wants your time. He wants you at an altar. He wants you at a place with Him, that you shore up the footing of your faith with Him. Does this make sense this morning? That you renew the sacrifice upon the altar. What is the sacrifice upon the altar? Because we're not supposed to bring our dogs and cats and sacrifice them. We're not supposed to bring bulls anymore. We're not supposed to bring chickens anymore. What are we supposed to bring? We bring ourselves. We lay ourselves upon the altar. The Bible calls us a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That you do this every day. Paul says that I get up and I die to myself. I die to myself every day. I get up on Monday, I die to myself because the old self got up with me. I get up on Tuesday and the old self got up again and said, hey, I want to do this today. Hey, I want to go there today. Hey, I want to do this. And I die to self and I live for God. I get up on Wednesday, I die to self again. And so I've got to literally keep crawling up on this altar, keep literally sacrificing myself. I'm a living sacrifice. I'm not killing myself. I'm a living sacrifice. I'm living to die every day so that I can live in Christ Jesus. And then you allow God to do His thing. That's all Ezekiel did. He allowed God to do His thing, to fire it up, to consume it, to have His way in his life. Yes, life does wear at us sometimes, and I'm closing with this. Yes, circumstances and situations will weigh us down, but God never leaves us, and God never forsakes us. You can expect His power in your life in 2021. You can expect His healing to heal you in 2021. You can expect Him to help find your dog in 2021. Because God loves you. Because you're important to God. And because God honors His relationship with you and His covenant with you. You can expect Him to set you free this new year if you're not free of bondages and addictions and all types of stuff. Expect God that this is the year God's going to set me free. You can expect Him to move in your life this new year. But you have to come back to Him and you have to give Him space to move. See, the problem is God can't always move in our lives because of the clutter that this world has built up, the clutter that this life has built up inside our hearts. And so we need to clear that and make space for God. Make an altar. Build the altar back up. What can you expect? You can expect amazement. You can expect awe in the faces of your families, in the faces of your friends, in the faces of your coworkers, and in your own face when you begin to see what God is truly doing in your life. So let's get into this new year, church, and let's get into it fired up. Let's trust God for our lives. Let's trust God for our homes. Let's trust God for our church. Let's trust God for the renewing of our faith this new year. Let's trust God for a revealing of His power and His person in our lives this year. Let's live every day of 2020. Listen, some of you need to come back to church. Some of you that are watching today, already you're complacent. But COVID, I get it. You still need to come back to church. And we're not going to break anybody's hand or force anybody's hand, but I want to tell you, you've gotten complacent. You're sitting there and you're doing everything else. You're going to Walmart and you're going to work and you're doing things that you like to do, but you're not coming back to church. And your excuse has been, well, COVID. I get that. But guess what? Don't go to Walmart then. Oh, yeah, don't go to Walmart. Don't go out and eat. Don't go do the things you're doing. Stop messing around with people and doing things you're doing out there. COVID. We need to come back together. It's time for the church to come back together. Now, if you have a pre-existing condition or you're apt to things that COVID can really mess up, I get it. We will keep this feed going for the rest of our lives together in this church because we believe in what God is doing online. But I also believe that the church needs to be full. And I also believe that God has a mission for this church in 2021. And it's going to take all hands. And I believe that if you're just sitting in that comfy chair today eating that hot Captain Crunch, that it's time to put that bowl down, that it's time to get out of your PJs, and it's time to get back to the house of God. Hallelujah. Living every day of 2021 with a renewed and refreshed love for God and His Word, and seeing God released in the situations and the circumstances that this new year will bring. Can you say this with me today in closing? Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. Would you say that with me today? Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Hallelujah. Would you say this with me today then? Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. Hallelujah. Right now, thank you, God, for all that you are doing. And then would you stand with me everywhere, whether you're in your house or whether you're in this house today? Would you lift your hands and would you say, but thank you, Lord, for what you are yet about to do? Would you say that with me? Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. But thank you, Lord, for what you are yet to do. Because we are trusting in you for this year. We are looking to you for direction. We are believing you for our healing. We are believing you for provision. God, thank you for what you are yet about to do.